Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Powering your property on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, Singapore's gross domestic product shrank by 41.2% on a quarter-on-quarter basis in the 3 months to June, entering a technical recession for the first time since 2009. As the economy slows on the back of COVID-19, what does this mean for big-ticket property deals and investments? Well, we're joined on the line by Christine Lee, Head of Research Singapore and Southeast Asia at Cushman & Wakefield, to find out. Christine, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Christine, tell us, what impact has COVID-19 had on investment inflows into Singapore's property market? And how is this reflected in the statistics for the first half of the year?
We have just launched a report on the Singapore investment sales for the first half. And as you can see, COVID pretty much brought the investment sales market to a standstill.
Mm.
So we define investment sales as property transactions that 10 million Sing dollar or more. And in the first half of this year, we really saw the investment volume coming down by a significant 45% year on year, so to slightly more than 6 billion. And this is in contrast to the 11 billion over the same period last year. I think a couple of reasons contributed to the drop. Firstly, due to the travel curbs, so overseas investors can't really fly in for viewing, and that would impact the sales activities. And secondly, when we had circuit breaker measures, our brokers also cannot conduct viewing, and that affected the transaction volume. And also in the current environment, you can see that buyers are also very unsure about how to price the asset correctly, given these uncertainties from the end users' demand in the office, retail, and hospitality sector. On the other hand, you know, sellers still have very deep pockets and are still holding on to the pre-COVID prices. So the price gap is rather huge for any deal to happen.
So, Christine, I want to ask you, 45%, that's a significant number. Have we seen a decline like that in the past?
This is actually quite normal during crisis period, because when you have a crisis, I think the first instinct is that sellers will hold back the launches, and also buyers will take a wait-and-see approach because there isn't really a need to deploy capital, especially when prices are not right. So judging by past data, I think in terms of the transaction volume, it is always the first to be impacted.
Mm.
And a 40-50% decline year-on-year is not something unheard of.
When was the last time we saw something like this? Would we be looking at the financial crisis or?
Yeah, it's definitely the financial crisis. I think in recent times, probably 2015, 2016, we saw some decline because of the slow economic growth at less than 1% per year. The transaction volume only came down by about 20%. So this 45% is considered quite significant.
So how do you see the market moving then going forward? I mean, if we've still got this price gap for sellers and buyers, you know, brokers aren't able to come and have a look at the properties, they're still priced at pre-COVID with a pre-COVID price tag. What needs to happen next?
I think we saw some green shoots happening in the market already. Although we are at the circuit breaker period, you know, when lockdown happened, we still saw some commercial deals coming in. I think the largest deal for the quarter was really, you know, the acquisition by Alibaba Group of the AXA Tower at the value, you know, the property was valued at 1.68 billion. So this is a significant deal. And we understand that, you know, the buyer, so Alibaba Group, is probably going to occupy the property. So unlike other investors in the past, this buyer is actually an occupier. In the past, we see, you know, landlords buying or real estate funds buying, but they're not the end users. So this is an interesting development that Chinese tech companies are still very bullish on the Singapore overall economic fundamentals.
And we did see some movements in the REIT sector as well, didn't we? How much did that go to help bolster investment volumes?
think there's some merger happening in the second quarter, so that has contributed to about 40% of the total investment sales volume in the second quarter. Going forward, of course, there could be further merger news on the REIT players, especially, you know, taking advantage of the fact that, you know, the trading volume could be boosted if some of the REITs can actually come together. So for Capital Commercial REIT and also the retail REIT, if they come together, it will be a powerful player in the REIT sector, because the combined AUM will have resulted in them jumping quite a few numbers in terms of the ranking. I think on the REIT front, you know, overall fundamentals for Singapore is still almost intact. I would say some of the asset classes, such as, you know, hospitality and retail, could probably take a temporary hit. The overall climate is that Singapore is still very well placed to capture the wave of growth, especially once this crisis is over, because we are in the center of Southeast Asia, and Southeast Asia is really poised for growth post-COVID.
And that said, Christine, you know, we have seen some warnings come from some of the REIT players in Singapore, CDL and Ascott, this week as well.
Yes, that's right.
So I want to ask you, you know, these deals that you're talking about, these are billion-dollar deals. Do you see any more in the pipeline for the rest of the year? What's your outlook?
I think for the rest of the year, it's a bit hard because we are already in the second half and the gestation period for such news tends to be quite long. So perhaps we are going to see some recovery, assuming the overall, you know, reopening of the economy can bring some income to these landlords, and there will be some deals happening perhaps in 2021. But for the rest of the year, I think it's going to be pretty quiet, judging by how things are on the ground with social distancing and also a lot of cautious in terms of, you know, the possibility of having a third or fourth wave.
So we've spoken about REITs and we've spoken about commercial property. What about the residential sector?
The residential sector, interestingly, is the most resilient segment of the market during this COVID. I think a few reasons contributed to that. One of them is the low interest rate environment. There's a lot of liquidity sitting on the sideline even before COVID. And during the COVID period, I think with technology, a lot of the residential projects are still moving quite rapidly. In fact, we are seeing an uptrend from April to June. I think the millennial generation in particular, they are quite savvy and they don't mind buying something off plan, because a lot of the sales primary market is off plan. Even, you know, without COVID, you can only see the show flats. You can't really touch and feel the actual unit. So a lot of these millennial generation took the opportunity to buy up some of the properties that actually have a slight discount, maybe a star buy unit with a discount of 3-5%.
Christine, but if we're looking at deals, though, have you seen perhaps the residential sector, it's a little bit more muted due to the amount of government land sales on the market?
The government land sales have been pretty steady, but in terms of the actual units going to be launched in the pipeline, it's actually quite high. Those numbers were from the en bloc sales in 2016 to 2018. So we are probably going to see another 20 projects going to be launched in the next 12 months or so, and that will contribute to a significant, you know, take up and also perhaps some competition amongst the different players.
Okay, well, Christine, thank you so much for your inputs and your insights. It's been wonderful speaking with you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Christine Lee, Head of Research at Singapore and Southeast Asia at Cushman & Wakefield.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.